interested too. So I'm gonna.
All I want is some black. Oh, Lynn, I can't lift it.
Got it. Here.
I've got a bad.
I'm sorry. Look, we got fresh coffee.
Well, I wish I did.
Yeah, I'm going to call us to order any second now. Is that different from this?
This is the DD.
Okay. Thank you. It is different. Yes. Thank you very much, Lynn.
Not to do it now, just during that. Additional items.
It's what?
Additions to the agenda.
That'll be wonderful.
If it's okay. And if it's not okay.
Introduced to the agenda.
Well, that might be a good place.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, just bring it up.
I'm waiting.
I'll do it again after I've tried it. Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Am I crowding you?
Nope.
Okay. All right. I've called this meeting to order, and you were cooperative. And I'm Deborah Townsend, and I'm the chair or the president of the board for this year. And I'd like to welcome everybody. Could we have a roll call, please, Stephanie?
Astrid Berkson, Island Danavy, Susan Fowler,
here.
Dolores Henry,
here.
Tom Moore, Judy O'Connor,
here.
Julian Rappaport,
here.
Ann Robin,
here.
Deborah Townsend,
here. Thank you. Is there any citizen input or public participation? I'm inviting. No? All right, then we'll move along. Are there any additions to the agenda? You've all had a chance to review it. Julian.
Microphone,
please.
I want to introduce an item to get it to be on our agenda for discussion at a future meeting. And I'm not, is this the time to introduce it?
Oh, you can.
Okay, so what I'd like to do is introduce an agenda item for discussion at future meeting with respect to building a systematic way to evaluate programs that we fund. And I have some thoughts about it, and I'm sure other people have thoughts about it, but I don't want to discuss it now because we have never.
Maybe we could talk about it a bit soon.
Okay.
You can put it on the March agenda.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Stephanie, March agenda. Susan.
Susan.
Well, you gave me an idea. And so, Julian, could we also put on multi-year funding? Because that issue has come up several times. And we do fund on an annual cycle. And I'd like to have some discussion about that.
Multi-year funding.
Pros and cons. Mm-hmm. Or more than single-year funding.
Right. All right.
I can actually respond to that. The statute allows for multiple-year funding, and basically the board can make that recommendation when we make the decisions in May. I mean that could be a discussion point. We actually do have, or actually, Mark, do we have any at this point, multi-year? I can't remember.
No, we don't have any multi-year contracts at the moment. We have in the past had tried two-year allocations. Mm-hmm. And you know, it worked for some contracts and not for others.
I think we did that with Parenting with Love and Limits, but it is always an option, and that's something that can be discussed. And the contracts all have clauses that relate to termination if there's a, you know, if there's a performance issue or whatever. So even if it's a multiple year contract, we that doesn't lock you in forever. But that's certainly something that can be raised, and I would recommend if you have some thoughts about that concerning any of the applications to let us know, and we'll.
It's come up as in my role as a liaison, so.
Oh.
Don't we have an evaluation of programs model right now, Mark?
Well, go ahead and answer, but let's not get into discussion at this point.
Sure.
On something that's not even on the agenda.
Yeah. Generally, what we do is all agencies, as part of their application, there are to identify program outcome measures, and then it sets targets and so forth in terms of what their performance would be, and then they report against that on an annual basis. And then in our applications, they're to summarize, kind of highlight the outcome results. I'll leave it at that, and we can talk about it further in March.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Susan. CCDDB information. Peter?
Well, I would like to make sure that everybody is aware that there will be a meeting of the CCDDB, the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board, following this meeting. And there is a study session related to housing. And everybody on the Mental Health Board is, of course, welcome. We actually have Phil Krein here who's joining us. But other than that, they're in the same spot that we are. The applications are in. We are in the process of beginning to look at those, and I think everybody should have a copy of the applications for both boards that have been received thus far in front of you. But that's about it for the DD board at this point. Phil, did you have anything that you would like to add? Okay.
All right, very good. Thank you, Peter. The minutes of our last meeting, that would be January something. I invite a motion for approval of those minutes.
I move.
Unless you want, wait a minute. I should have asked for corrections or additions.
No,
I'm rusty.
You need a motion and a second first.
No, I don't think so.
What do we do? Need a motion in a second and then ask for.
Oh, I'm out of practice. I'd like a motion to approve these minutes, please.
So move.
Thank you, Dolores. In a second.
Second.
Thank you, Susan. Now, are there any corrections or additions? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The minutes are approved. I'm going to save my comments for later in the agenda when I have an agenda item anyway. So we'll just move along. Peter.
Okay. Well, first, I would like to introduce our two new board members who are with us tonight. I'll start with Dr. Ann Robin, who's down there. By the way, we have all met with the board members, and they've been oriented and have been given manuals at this point, and we had some great conversations at this point. So welcome, Dr. Robin. And then we also have Judy O'Connor, who is with us, as I said, we've met and had a great conversation. And then you went to Florida, I guess, right?
Yeah, I did. I should have stayed.
So anyway, I'm delighted to have both of you as I said, we had really good conversations, and I think they're ready to kind of hit the ground running. The other thing I wanted to mention is that I think I sent to all of the board members a link that went to the Champaign City Council presentation on the about the Community Coalition. Tracy Parsons and I, along with Joan Walls from the city and several other people, have done. We've been trying to kind of talk about phase two of the coalition that we're moving into, and we did the briefing with the city of Champaign, and then we met with the Urbana School District and the Urbana Park District. Which was a really great. Both of those were really good. Had good conversation. And then we just met with the Metropolitan Intergovernmental Council. We did another presentation this week, and at this point, the plan is to continue those. And Tracy, can you? The next one is Urbana, City of Urbana.
Correct. So the plan is to, we have an executive committee that exists of all the partners, and so we will be going to all of the boards and commissions for all of the partners, which would include this board at some point. We'll come and do a more formal presentation about the coalition, the next phase that we're moving into. And so Peter's correct. Next Monday, Urbana City Council, I think, early March, we go to Champaign Park District, and so we're getting as many of these scheduled as possible. So,
so anyway, those have been very very good conversations, and I think that the support for the coalition and the transition of Tracy into the role as the leader of the coalition is has occurred and is doing very nicely at this point. So anyway, that's. Those are my comments at this point. We have a full agenda.
Very good. Any questions that you'd like to ask Peter? Oh, all right. Well, thank you very much. Let's move along. Staff reports. Mark, do you want to say anything or add anything to your report?
I guess I would just say that we have wrapped up, as Peter mentioned, our application cycle, and there's the information about the applications, and we'll have an opportunity to talk about that later.
Great. Any questions for Mark based on his report? Yes, Julian.
Mark, and this will help me just to begin thinking about this topic. You mentioned in, I guess it's the second paragraph, that agencies were encouraged to review the program summaries and make an effort to strengthen outcome measures. Could you just say a little bit more about what that entailed?
General, you know, as we go through the application process, each application, you know, we prepare a summary of that, and sometimes there'll be kind of, I guess, a critical review of what they've proposed as their measure, and that's where they may, in terms of preparing their application for this round, they could refer back to that to see if there's any, constructive input that was put forward as part of the program summary. The performance measures themselves are generally specific to the individual program. So it's they're not necessarily something that all programs of a similar nature would report on, although they may have some similarities.
So they would be at this part of a self-evaluation, right?
Yes. Yes, although some agencies use, I'm thinking of client rights. I think Community Elements uses that. Prairie Center uses a similar evaluation tool where the client, it's a self-report, and there are specific questions that Community Elements will look, will propose as their measures, but the survey that's completed is sent into a national organization, and that organization compiles the results and then benchmarks those results against similar organizations providing similar services and of a similar size.
So each agency will have their own peculiar way of approaching this, as I understand this,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted a little bit more detail.
Sure, and I would be happy to talk to you between now and March about what we do.
I'll probably take you up on that.
Please do.
Good, thank you. Lynn, is there anything you want to add to your report or take away? And are there any questions?
I wish I could take
any
away.
Any questions for Lynn?
I don't have anything to add.
Okay. Always want to give you a chance.
Thanks.
No questions for Lynn this time. Okay. Well, Tracy.
The only thing I would like to add, at your place, Matt, you'll see a newspaper article from, I believe it was last Friday, about Project AWARE. It is a new training, mental health first aid training that Champaign Schools will be implementing, or they are taking the lead on, I should say. Access and then the community elements are the community partners in the project. Now, we actually initiated this process and project, but we were not allowed, the way the grant was written, to be the grantee, so the school district had to be the lead agency. So we are mentioned in the article, but I wanted to share that this really was initiated through Access and is part of our work. So I just wanted to share that with the board.
Any questions for Tracy?
So if they come across young people who have mental health issues, what happens?
Well, I think this is just helping equip our community better on how to handle these situations and how to recognize and respond in a more appropriate way. I don't know, Julie, if you want to come add any more about the training itself or what it does, but.
It's exactly, it's like the adult mental health first aid. It is for people not in the mental health field, really, to help lay people in community bodies to respond, recognize, respond, and help that individual to support them.
So, they're like a clearinghouse. I find five kids at Central High School or Centennial High School, and they meet the criteria. Can I right away get some services for these kids, or we just kind of file the information away?
This is first aid.
Right.
Okay, so I'll understand that. So the people, I assume, would be classroom teachers, counselors, social workers who would get the training.
Yeah, I think.
Anybody who has interaction
with okay.
Neighbors,
yeah.
Coaches, anybody.
But they don't have to search around to find where to refer. They'll know through the training where they can refer.
Yes, there is a whole resource list that's
okay.
created for the individuals that attend.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
And then the other part Dolores said I really like about this is that we will be doing some joint trainings with community and school personnel together down the road. So Chandra will be our person through the Mental Health Board. Julie is the lead person for community elements. And then the team of folks here are the school district point persons.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I really like about this is just noticing that someone is miserable or just noticing means an awful lot to somebody. Okay, are there any board-to-board reports? Come, board-to-board reports. You've been to meetings. You've absorbed what happened, and we'd love to hear about it. Well, maybe next month. All right. Agency information. Is there any agency? Yeah.
Jennifer Knapp from Community Choices. Just to have a quick announcement, actually next Wednesday from 7 to 8, Deb Frank-Finan, who is an attorney in town, is offering a free information session to individuals and families about guardianship and estate planning and all of that jazz at the Champaign Public Library, and there's flyers over there. So just wanted to, everyone to be aware that that's happening next Wednesday.
Thank you. Any other agency information? Okay, going. All right. The financial information, you've all received a copy of Nancy's claims report. And if you have questions, please ask them now, even though Nancy's not here. We'll get your questions to her.
Hmm? We can also try to answer them.
Well, we could. Oh, yes, we could. Yeah. Any questions? All right. I'd like a motion to accept the claims report.
I move to accept.
Thank you, Dolores. Any second? Thank you, Astrid. Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Any opposed? Thank you. The claims report is accepted.
Take some serious study. You have to have a little faith in
the okay.
administrators there that believe they're not stealing the money.
I'm prepared tonight to give board members their assignments for performing liaison with the agencies that we fund. I think this is an important thing that we try to do. It really is helpful if we didn't get any reports tonight. That's okay. But it really is helpful if in the future we can get reports. I mean, you go to the board meetings, you understand what's going on. There may be issues the agency is having difficulty with, or really good things have happened. I think we'd all like to hear that. So I really want to encourage you to, you know, follow up with this. You will be contacted by someone at the agency, and you'll be invited to have a meeting with them and a tour of the facilities, probably. And I encourage you to do it and feel like, although you belong to us, you also belong to them. So now I had a really problem because there are just 9 of us. And there are more agencies than that. And so I'm going to ask for some volunteers to double up and take more than one. And since these meetings are only like once a month, I think I'm hoping that we can manage it. So let me report what I've done so far. Anne, I'd like you to take developmental services, please. Julian, Access Coordinating Council, and the Special Court Steering Committee. Those were 1 and 2 on your... Okay. Is that all right?
I don't remember.
Oh, I do.
That's fine.
It's written down. Okay. Okay. And Judy, would you take Community Choices, please? Dolores, Quarter Cent Administration only meets quarterly, so I'm going to encourage you to volunteer for another one.
Right now?
No. Well, if you want to. Well, wait till we're done. Okay. Let's see what's available. Island, I'm asking to go to Family Service. Tom is out of town, and I'll wait till he comes back and talk it over with him, see what he would like to do. I'm I'm not assigned yet, but I'll pick up where there might be some unfilled spots. I love to go to the Children's Advocacy Center on Thursday mornings, the second or third or fourth, whichever. But I'm not doing that now. I'd like somebody else to do it. It's a kind of a neat group. But I'm not doing it because I'm going to the pool to do water exercises. Yeah, okay. Susan, would you do community elements? Oh, and crisis nursery, you wanted both. There you are. Did you want both of them?
I said I would do two, so unless someone else wants crisis nursery, I'm happy to go.
No one did. I don't understand that, but no one did.
I'd like to stay with community elements because I'm just getting sure.
Okay. Well, let's put you on both, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine.
Okay. And Astrid, Prairie Center? Okay. I tried to come close to what y'all said you wanted to do. Now, we have some, yeah. What would you like to do in addition to what I've got you doing?
How about Francis Nelson?
Why is it not?
It has a different name now.
Is that Promise Healthcare?
Promise Healthcare.
Yeah, of course. Promise, you must call it Promise Healthcare. So must I.
Nancy told me I could call it Francis Nelson.
Oh, all right, all right, all right. Well, that'll be fine. Would somebody else double up? We have the Center for Youth and Family Service. We have Children's Advocacy Center Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, lasts about an hour. And they're doing good stuff. Races and Refugee Center. Oh, please don't all talk at once. Okay. So I still don't have somebody for Center for Youth and Family Services. First Tuesday at 1 p.m.
I don't believe we have a relationship with them, although we do, to substitute for them, we have the Youth and Family Peer Alliance. If I got the name
it
right.
Looks like Center for Family Youth and Family Services.
Yeah.
So it's... Okay.
I don't even know who that is.
All right, we'll figure it out. The CAC, did anybody volunteer for CAC? Looks like it's back in your lap.
That could be one for Tom or someone.
It could be one for Tom, yes. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Oh, how about Races and Refugee Center and or? Okay, we'll figure it out. Thank you. But thank you for what you volunteered for. You'll be contacted and you'll be filled in. Any questions about this thing that we do? Okay. Did you want to say something about the list of applicants?
I do, really. Okay. If I could.
Sure.
For the new board members, you have copies of the applications that we have received for this year from both boards. And the reason that we do that is because this board has an overlapping responsibility for developmental disabilities. And so when we get to the point where we're making decisions, we sometimes, we consider both boards and the money from both boards. And so you need to kind of be aware of what is what's being applied for all the way around. The second thing I wanted to point out was that We do have a couple of applications that came in incomplete, and with the board's permission, what I would like to do at this point is to ask those agencies to complete their applications and then bring them back in March to get the board's, to have the board decide whether they're going to accept them or not, since they were late, and they're not completed. So if everybody's okay with that, that's what we'll do.
Are they new applications or continuing applications?
New. I think a couple of them are new. Any questions about the applications? That's it.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Access Initiative Infrastructure and Service Delivery Report. I think there's no action here, but if you have questions.
Well, actually, we have guests here. Mark Aber and.
Oh, and Nancy.
Yeah. You want to come up?
I don't mean Nancy, I mean Nicole. Sorry. Good. Excuse me, Nicole?
I said I will answer to whatever name you call me.
Oh, how nice. Thank you.
We don't have a presentation. We're happy to entertain questions, though, if you have them. We have no need to.
It was a wonderful report.
Pick up your time.
Wow. The most professional report we've had since the last one. Julian.
Well, first I have a comment that I agree with. This is. It's a very interesting report, and it was actually what stimulated my request to have an agenda item to discuss evaluation. Since reading it, it just brought to light in my thinking that this is one of the rare occasions where we actually have some kind of evaluation going on. So whatever you think about the substance of the report, it's extremely positive to have such a thing. And I think we need to make it more public and make it more known that this is a process that we encourage. And so that was my first thought about reading this, to think about how we could use this maybe as a model for creating some kind of evaluation. I have some thoughts about it, but I know it's not the right time to introduce it brand new on this agenda, but mostly I want to make that observation. And then I do have some questions about the report itself, which partly are some of them are stimulated by watching, I actually watched that on the cable channel, the presentation that you and Tracy, and there was a third person up there, right? Pardon? Oh, Joan Walls, right. So you gave a presentation at the city council and referred us to it. And so I watched it, and I was struck by the tremendously positive community-wide view of the coalition. But I was also struck by the failure somehow of people to recognize any kind of relationship between the coalition and the Access Initiative. And so I don't quite know how to understand that. And I also noticed that in this evaluation report, although you're often speaking about the coalition, there's nothing about the Access involvement in the community coalition. So I'm a little confused by that and want to know something about how we might think about that and whether it would be a good idea to make some more obvious links without, I'm not asking you to change your report or anything, I'm just kind of trying to clarify how we can make use of this. So if you have comments on that, that would be great, or if Tracy has comments, that would be great, or Peter, or I don't know.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I think, Julian, your question is, you know, a good one. I would answer it this way. So the work of the coalition, while there, it wasn't formally part of Access, if we were to look at the work of the coalition as part of the Access project. So where it connects is part of a quarter of what Access, the work of Access was around infrastructure building and collaboration and partnership. And so that's where the connection with the coalition exists as it relates to Access. And so my participation in both, obviously, is another part of the connection. But the formal part of what Mark and Nicole are evaluating, it's infrastructure as it relates to our service delivery model, our service delivery system. And as we move forward, we're envisioning the coalition being the infrastructure part for the community for the system of care. And so I know I struggled that night on how to explain them, and I'm still struggling. And so your question is great on how we create the language to explain the connectivity and the partnership and how they work well together and mesh together. But how they initially were structured was not intentionally to be. The coalition wasn't built to be the infrastructure developmental part for Access. And so I think that's why Mark and Nicole, it wouldn't be part of their evaluation.
So I guess my question as to you, as people who are actually quite well informed about the Access Initiative and its various parts, and thinking about it as evaluators and thinking about it as transitioning and understand, it's apparently quite difficult for people to grasp the idea that the initiative wasn't just about providing direct services, that it has a big component in it of creating a systemic change. And if we believe, which it seems to me that I believe it, that part of that is the interrelationships among various community agencies, and this is one vehicle for that, I'm wondering if there isn't some way we can incorporate that into future. And you say you're going to keep doing more, certainly at the sort of thing you're doing here, but I'm wondering if it makes sense to think about including these things as well. And if we won't, because I think we need help in explaining it. And I'm generally in favor of making our evaluation more known. Mm-hmm. And that if that were a part of it, that would really be helpful, I think. So if you have anything, if you have any thoughts about that, it would be nice to hear what they are.
Before you go ahead, I wanted to establish what the connection is. This really goes back. The Access Initiative started in October of 2009, at the exact same time when Kiwan Carrington was killed. Yeah. And at that time, the city of Champaign, actually, before we hired Tracy Parsons, they hired Tracy Parsons to be their consultant to come in and help them pull the community together. So the issues of of that, going back to the Kiwan's shooting, the death of Kiwan Carrington, really ties into exactly what the initiative is focused on, is, you know, kids in the juvenile justice system that are primarily African American, and that's the continuation. The system of care is, how do we do better with that group of kids?
Yeah, so my question remains on the table if you're willing, if you have anything to say about it.
Yeah, I don't know what I would add except to say that I do think that all the evaluation that we're doing of the Access Initiative has bearing on what the coalition might want to target in their own activities going forward, to the extent that the kids that the Access Initiative has sought to figure out better ways to serve, kids who have serious mental health needs and who are at risk of juvenile justice involvement. Given that they are a target of the growing coalition, it makes sense that the coalition would be interested in the data that we've collected and in the data that we will continue to report on. I guess the other thing I would say is As you noted, this project is primarily about building infrastructure, building capacity to better serve children with serious mental health needs, increasing access to services. And that those are goals that the coalition shares. And so I think embedded in the beginning part of our report where we talk about markers of community effort to build infrastructure, including trainings and formal relationships and changes in practice and policy and structures of organizations. Embedded in there somewhere, I'm sure, are some of the activities of that encompass the relationship between access and the coalition as it emerged. So I would be surprised, I don't know, have the details of the data in front of me, but I would be surprised if, for example, the assessment center isn't counted as a infrastructure development activity that is grew out of community collaborations that were, you can't narrowly say that was the Access Initiative that caused them, but it was part of the general conversation and spirit of what was happening in the way of community collaboration around children's mental health that the Access Initiative was certainly part of. So I say that by way of saying that there are some ways in which the growing relationship between the Access Initiative and the Community Coalition is captured in some of the data that are in this brief report.
Well, if I just, I'm sorry, I don't want to take over the meeting. I just want to follow up with this one point, if I may. Can I follow up with this point? Because you bring up the Youth Assessment Center, which is another thing that I see as, when I hear about people's reaction to it, is very well received in the community. People view it as a really positive thing. So I'm struck by the irony of the Youth Assessment Center and the coalition viewed as really positive things, and the apparent inability of people to make any connections between those things and the Access Initiative. So I would like to draw those connections more crisply for ourselves and for the community, because I think that can help us to accomplish what we're after in terms of making these sorts of changes. So,
and I would add to that, Julian, that when we've been at some of the national conferences on system of care, people sometimes comment that they feel like the work and the movement forward really began after the money was gone, because it really just creates the beginning of a process, but the process is nowhere near done. And I remember one community sharing a story where they felt like it was 10 years in that they really felt that they had traction. But one of the things that has to shift is people thinking about it as a programmatic initiative. It's this group over here doing this thing, and thinking about it with very broad ownership as a task of the system as a whole. So it's not, did this happen as a result of the grant? Is the grant successful? It's, where are we as a community? Where can we take stock, learn from the kind of social experiment we're engaged in around developing systems of care, and continue to move forward? So I think the more that those boundaries are blurred, the more that people recognize that this is all one effort moving toward the same shared goals, I think that's actually a core part of our sustainability and our ability to continue this work. And we hope that the data, because we'll have more and more data this year to share, will be about informing that broadly shared process of moving forward, looking at where we still have profound gaps in our system, looking at some of the successes and what were some of the key ingredients where we really helped a family in a way that they had never been helped before, but as a way to inform the whole process. So in that way, the Access Initiative doesn't end, right? It just keeps transitioning into all of these efforts.
Just a short comment. The difficulty that I'm having with the community partners, I don't know, how do you define buy-in from these partners? I know on paper you have these organizations, but from my past experiences, when people really have genuine buy-in into any process, then they always are willing to put some finances behind it. So how do you define buy-in from the community partners?
just a couple of things that come right to mind as you ask that. I think that it could look a variety of ways, but just some examples from the evaluation standpoint. So for one thing, 16 child-serving agencies in this community participated in an organizational assessment as a part of the Access Initiative evaluation, which required a lot of time on the part of their leadership and on the part of their staff to engage in a self-reflective process around trauma and justice-informed care. That was a survey that was developed in the evaluation advisory body. And these many, many agencies participated in that process, and some just participated in a piece looking at interagency linkages. But I think that's one example of buy-in. And then we generated individual reports for each of those agencies, and many of them did invite us and sit down with us to talk about the findings as they were particular to their agencies. And some even asked for some follow-up data, which we provided to them. So that's, I think, one at least evaluation-centered example of where people or agencies have been willing to engage in that kind of self-reflective process. We don't name them in particular, but you can kind of make guesses when you think about the core of the child-serving agencies in the community. And not to put them on the spot, but I'm also, is that okay to share an example here? So with Sheila and Julie here, Community Elements provided us with access to their data, the outcome data that they gather as a requirement of Medicaid. And they provided us with very intensive access to this data, hundreds and hundreds of children that they have served through Community Elements, with the invitation to look at those data in light of disparities. So we looked at these data over time, and it was very sophisticated analysis. We actually sought support in doing it because this raises another issue around capacity to self-evaluate. It would have been a very tall ask to say to Community Elements, you ought to use this data. They were very complicated data to work with, very complicated. Anyway, they invited us to look at racial disparities in that data, where African-American youth engaged for shorter periods of time, relative to white counterparts. Were outcomes different over time? And I think that's, again, another evaluation-centered example, but where agencies were willing to look at and engage in a self-reflective process. So those are two that come to mind that are evaluation-centered, Dolores, but I think that's the kind of thing that could be encouraged more and more because it's, I think when the agencies have done that, they're stepping up and saying, we have a part in this. It's part about our transformation, too. I think that the more that we do that, the better.
But financially, I think it would be good if we had buy-in from all the cities, the county, because to continue the work that's already been blueprint it, you just don't go on nothing. No. So agencies are fine, but they're, we need some funding from the cities, mm-hmm. Urbana, Champaign, the county board, to get behind because it takes staffing, it takes resources to continue this work when the SAMHSA dollars are gone.
So Dolores, just to share, as we are moving forward in the next phase of the coalition, there is a financial ask for each one of the partners. So that is part of the presentations that we're doing is making that financial request.
Very good, thanks.
Any luck so far?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Until we get a check, Deb?
I got it.
Okay.
Understand, yes. Susan.
Thank you, Deb. So I may be jumping the mark by asking this question, and you can defer it if you'd like, but it seems to me that the coalition and access are intimately intertwined, whether access generated the coalition or built the infrastructure for the coalition or whatever the case may be, and yet at the same time, the wonderful work that is being reported in this evaluation about access somehow isn't being understood at the county board level because we have this issue with the quarter cent tax.
There you go.
And so it does seem to be critically important to ensure that the work done with access, with those initial federal funds, am I right? They were initial federal funds. Transitions to community funds because you have this system of care ready to be birthed, if not already born. You've got 40-some memorandums of understanding across agencies. I mean, that's incredibly impressive. How do we tell this story in a way that it's not maintaining a federal grant that should have ended and has ended? Because that's really not the story. The story is the federal grant provided the catalyst to build this infrastructure and this system of care, and now it's almost built, or it's partially built, or it's built, but it needs support in order for it to come to full fruition. And whatever happened with the county board seems to have been a misunderstanding of our effort as a mental health board to maintain some of that infrastructure effort by supporting the now director of the coalition, former director of Access. I'm just trying to figure out what went on politically that could be addressed given the wonderful results that we have in this evaluation.
I think you need to ask the county board. It came from them.
But I think maybe we have a role in informing and educating too, based on this report. Like, I'd love to know who the 40 MOUs are with. I'm not going to ask you to list them, but I mean, it's impressive.
Susan, I think we're trying to get that information to the county board. I mean, we're sharing this report. It has been shared. We also got a letter from the state, from the monitor, and that has been shared concerning the sustainability plan that we voted into place. So I think we're trying to get that information out, and I believe that we're trying to make sure that people understand that there is a connection between the community coalition and Access Initiative, that in fact the community coalition is the system level piece of the system of care. All of the players that need to be there serve on the community coalition at this point. And you know, I think it's picking up steam at this, so.
I just think I've only slowly figured this out over the course of the last four meetings. So if I'm on the board and I'm just figuring it out, there's clearly a need for more telling of the story in the community.
Well, Dr. Fowler, what I would say is that we are in that process, and so Access is in its final year, and that is part of the six-year plan, is to tell the story, tell the Access story. And so there are so many narratives about what Access was, what it was supposed to be. You know, we've got, you know, a certain part of the community that wants to only focus on numbers served, and that's only a small part of what Access was in place to do. So we are in the process of creating some marketing documents that helps tell what the initial goals were, and those were identified through a pretty engaging community process that involved stakeholders across our community, most importantly, youth and families. And so the story isn't done, and we are still in that process. And so I, because we've started transitioning and talking about sustainability, you know, we've maybe have jumped the process maybe a little bit. And so the other part of that is we haven't done a good job probably of telling our story as we've gone through this journey. Nicole says to me all the time, you know, we've viewed Access from the lens of, or the community has viewed Access from the lens of, what is Access going to do for me, versus what can we do to help support the philosophies and practices around system of care. And so that infrastructure building, you know, if you look at the work that we're talking about in building cultural competency across our community, you know, trauma-informed care, that many of the agencies are using that language and adopting those practices. So does Access become I think the agencies would say, we're doing that work, and we're in that process. And so did these things happen because of access? You know, probably not, but we know that the access was an incentive and a catalyst to help encourage and push these philosophies and practices community-wide. And so it's now happening statewide. And we've been one of the engines, really, to help push that movement across our community and across our state. And so I shared with you even the example of the new federal grant that we have to do the mental health first aid. So the school district is the receiver of the grant. They run the article to talk about what the school district is doing. Well, this happened because of our partnership and our working together and because of our collaboration. And so how we tell that story is a key part of going forward. So
just one other thing. In April, we are going before the Champaign County Board to kind of brief them on what's going on with the Mental Health Board and the Developmental Disability Board, and access will be a part of that conversation. In addition, Astrid Bergson is the chair of the committee that's looking at the Memorandum of Understanding as well as some of the criminal justice stuff, and that's happening on March 26th. There will be a meeting.
Exactly. What we need is some really fine marketing documents. Dr. Fowley's right. We need marketing. You need to market it to the county board. Not just tell your story, but market it. Okay?
Can I make one more comment? I think that's what I think this can be. A part of the marketing. For a couple of reasons. I mean, one is just, I was looking to find, I knew I remembered reading this in here. So this is at the very end, what this report says. Thus, it is not the summary judgment of effective or ineffective that matters, but the information that alerts us to the conditions that facilitate success and those that impede success. So what in a good evaluation is, it doesn't just tell you, oh, yeah, this works, oh, it doesn't work. No, a good evaluation tells you what's going well and what's not going well. What are the blocks to getting things done? What are the things that do facilitate these things happening? So this is not perhaps a subtle point for people who are used to thinking about, well, is this a good program or a bad program? Tell me. So, you know, if you add up, if some of the people are getting a lot from it and some of the people are not getting anything from it, and you add them up, it might look like, well, it doesn't make any difference. But if you can generate from that how it works when it's working well versus how it works when it's not, and you're willing to then engage in making changes around what you've learned. I mean, so that's a part of what has to be marketed. That whole idea has to somehow be put forth without being embarrassed by not being able to say, oh, yes, this is 100% effective. We never do anything wrong, and it's always perfect. I mean, which is sort of what people want to say. So, you know, I would actually like us to challenge the county board to do evaluations of all their programs that even approximate anything that comes close to this one, because I bet they don't do it. So I'm kind of annoyed by the questions that say, well, show us some data. What, you know, I mean, people say that all the time. Tell us how come this is worthwhile. I think we should be ticked off about that question coming from people who don't evaluate almost anything in their program. So, I mean, I don't think we should be shy is what I'm saying. Sorry.
Nobody has explained to them, when they say how many people has it served, nobody has explained to them that that's not what it's about. They need to know what it was supposed to do so they know that it's done what it's supposed to do. And that is marketing.
Thank you for all your comments. They're very helpful. And it's clear that we have a lot to do. It's clear to me that we're very fortunate that we have wonderful people to do it. So keep going. Just keep it up. Don't let yourself be discouraged ever. Is that fair to say, Mark and Nicole? Yeah, don't be discouraged.
I think it is fair to say, and I just to add one other piece that comes to mind around the social marketing is that so many agencies, I think, have asked that question, how can we contribute and be a part of a system of care? And I think part of what we can do and highlight in the social marketing process is also highlight those contributions, because it also models for others. Mm-hmm. This is what this looks like. Sometimes it's a really small act in the change of a mission statement. Sometimes it's a small act in the change of a referral process. But the nature of systems change is that bit-by-bit change. And so that's another piece that we could take up, I think, in highlighting with permission some of the pieces that are reflected in those infrastructure changes to provide models for what that looks like as we go forward.
Great. You know,
the other thing I would add, too, is that the Access Initiative work was not the beginning of our community's efforts to do system of care. We got the grant because this board and other bodies in our community have worked to set the groundwork for it. And it's not the end of it, obviously, either. It'll continue long past. So.
Well, thank you so very much for your contribution to our knowledge and our helping us to know a little more about where to go, what to do. And thank you so much for the evaluation, which is just superb. And I think will be very, very useful. Come back when you're ready. Okay. Next item is quarter
session. Madam Chair, may I make a statement for the record in correcting some information in relationship to the county board's support of the Youth Assessment Center? There seems to be a lot of misunderstanding floating in this community about the funding from the county board for the Youth Assessment Center. And somehow the public doesn't realize that the county does give $235,000 to support the Youth Assessment Center. That became apparent yesterday morning when I was attending a metropolitan intergovernmental meeting. And so I'd like that cleared up, and I'd like that cleared up in relationship to the coalition and the executive committee of that we were told we need to have a buy-in, and we do have a buy-in because the county board does support the Youth Assessment Center quite considerably. So thank you for the time for letting me put that on the public record.
Thank you, Patsy. Okay, let's go on to the quarter cent for public safety MOU. You've all had a chance to read it, and I'm gonna invite Peter to comment.
Yeah, just real quickly. This is what I was referring to. Astrid is the chair of a committee that's looking at the memorandum of understanding between us and the county board. We have had the memorandum of understanding since 2005 when we were asked to assume responsibility for managing the quarter cent for public safety money, which, by the way, Patsy is totally correct. The entire amount of money that we are managing through that, the quarter cent money, is being used for the Youth Assessment Center. In addition, we have an additional $26,000 that the Mental Health Board contributes to support the assessment center above and beyond that. So it is quarter cent funding, and I have always been clear about that. The issue that is coming up at this point has to do with the county board is interested in the possibility of discontinuing the memorandum of understanding. I sent a letter to Deb Busey, and I'll just kind of cover the points, but the main reasons, the first is that the memorandum of understanding is working. It is doing what it's supposed to do. And I think that the termination of the memorandum of understanding sort of undercuts our efforts to have a system of care in this community. And it also, I think, undercuts to some degree the Access Initiative and what they're doing at this point. I also think that the elimination of the Memorandum of Understanding is a problem in terms of the procurement process. This was a bid process. The decision was made by the board based on the recommendation that came from the Quarter Cent administration team, and to all of a sudden take that money off the table as a potential money that's available for bidding sort of circumvents and undercuts that process. And I think that, you know, I know that I've had several agencies in the community mention that that was a problem for them. The other thing is that as we currently manage the program, we provide all of the monitoring, the fiscal monitoring, as well as the program monitoring. And that is working very well, and I think without that, you wonder how's that going to be done. And then the last is that I think that this represents the commitment of the county to culturally competent programming, and I think that to eliminate it will raise some question in some people's mind about where does that, what happens to cultural competence, what is our commitment to minority youth, and that's the rationale for my objecting to or asking for reconsideration of elimination of the Memorandum of Understanding. So that, as I said, that will occur. Astrid is chairing the committee, and that will be discussed. And I think of course, I'll be there, and I'll present my viewpoint, but I wanted to make sure the board was fully aware of what was going on, since this is a formal agreement between us and the county board. And
any questions? Julian.
So at that point, my question is, if I'm following this, that memo of understanding is in operation right at the present time, and the application for funding through the quarter cent money that comes from the county board will be processed through our evaluation procedure, right, for funding for the following year. Is that correct? We're going to look at that.
Yes.
Right? So one of the things then that we'll do, undoubtedly, and I confess I can't recall how closely I've looked at it in the past, probably other people have, but I guess now that it was called to my attention, I was looking here at the memo of understanding that's reproduced in our work, and I see an item that says the primary purpose of the quarter cent public safety funding and so on is to reduce this is on the second page of the memorandum, it's item number 3. The point I want to make is that it says that the point of the program is to reduce recidivism at the juvenile detention center and to implement other post-detention programs and services designed to prevent or reduce delinquent acts and so on. So I'm going to guess then that we're going to have some sort of evaluation of whether or not or how well that's being accomplished and, you know, how it's doing and so on. Will we have that in the application? Do we normally have that in the application? I don't remember.
Well, Darlene's here. Maybe she could speak to that issue. She runs
Well, they do provide, they provide data and answer the questions that we have related to evaluation.
So we should look at it and see what we think about it. Yes?
About what we're getting now.
Yeah, when we get it. I mean, I guess this would be I'm not saying it positively or negatively now. I just am assuming that we'll have that kind of information and enough of a format so that we could actually make some commentary on whether or not the goal is being accomplished.
Well, so far they've been doing monthly reports, I believe, but maybe down the road she could speak to it.
Yeah, I don't need it right now. I was just wondering,
she's here,
making sure that we'll be able, I'm making the point that we will be able to make a statement about that if indeed there is an evaluation of it going on, since that seems to be what everybody wants us to do.
I think, Julian, that you can be assured that we will do it. I mean, that...
Okay, that's all. It's just a comment. I'm not asking for Darlene to say anything now, actually. I mean, I don't care if you want to.
Your suggestion is very, to me, reasonable, and I suspect the whole board is behind it. I would agree. I don't know that, but some form of what you're talking about, I think you can see in the future. Maybe you'll be part of developing it.
But as the program director's here, we might as well let her have a couple words about what the future looks like from her perspective.
Darlene, do you wish to speak?
I can just let you know that there is a section on the application that talks about performance outcome measures, which Mark mentioned earlier, and there are statistics listed in our application for the Youth Assessment Center that you should be able to determine some information about recidivism rates, which is that concern that I think you're expressing. There's other outcome measures with relationship to other things as well, so hopefully the application is clear when you look at it.
Thank you, Darlene. Mm-hmm. Now I've lost my place. Too many marks, bookmarks.
Sorry.
No problem.
Well, to end this, I think that anybody who's interested in coming to the March 26th meeting is certainly welcome to come.
Where will it take place?
Here.
Putman. Oh. Yes. Jenny's room. Okay. Well, if not, it won't be far away. Hmm. We'll be able to find it. Okay. Next item is integration of people with IDDD. And
that's just information only.
It's just informational. Do you want to say anything further about it?
Well, the only thing that I would say is it was something that Vicki Nyswander wrote that we thought was apropos to the whole conversation about the importance of viewing things through the lens of integration. And it's clearly where the whole IDD system is heading. I thought it was kind of an interesting thing that I thought I would share with you. Did you have something, Lynn, you want to add? Okay.
Any comments? Then about item E13E. Okay. Let's move on then to the proposed 1115 waiver service definitions.
So
very useful.
So you might notice that the briefing memo is invisible.
Is what?
It's invisible because I forgot to provide it. Yeah. But if I had provided it, this is what it would say. It would say, because of the work of the Governor's Office of Health Innovation and Transformation, the GOHIT, does not appear destined to continue in its most recent form, an 800-page final draft of the proposed 1115 waiver, we might consider the value of some of the efforts. Attached are service definitions proposed by the IDDD Breakthrough Group. These resulted from broad stakeholder participation over the course of weekly meetings in the last 3 months of 2014. A great deal of discussion, even debate, led to these definitions, which would create opportunities for more integrated residential, employment, and day services and supports. They're presented for information only. Just some of us thought they were really great ideas and that they can fill some of the holes that our providers are very familiar with in the current Medicaid waiver programs. So we thought you should see them.
And, this conversation is coming, on the heels of the governor's budget address, which I think is just incredibly horrible with regard to people with disabilities. And the same goes you know, basically all the work that was done for the 1115 waiver, which is good work, is sort of on the scrap pile at this point.
Okay. Anything else about the waiver? Okay. Well, is there any other new business? Probably not. Maybe. All right, let's move to old business. We can do this. I shouldn't say that. I was about to say we should do this. We can do this quickly.
Yep. But, can.
You've had a chance to read the Alliance for the Promotion of Acceptance, Inclusion, and Respect. An oral report will be provided at the meeting, but I'm not sure by whom.
By me. We still have, it's still the longest name. So there's a copy of the this is the first ever email newsletter related to Ebertfest. We're in the very first issue of it. The highlight is our sponsorship. It's a little bit hard to look at because it's an email newsletter, so I asked them if they could turn it into a one-sheet poster, and it looks really great, but I just got it before the meeting. So we can use this in some of our own promotions. But anyway, that was nice that we got to be first. And there's nothing that I can share right now that I didn't put in the staff report. I had hoped to be able to tell you about films, but I can't yet. So.
Well, thank you for what you told us. Appreciate it. Julian.
I have a comment, a positive comment about Lynn that is worth sharing, I think.
Great.
That even though this isn't, I'm not officially a liaison in terms of board-to-board reporting, and I don't know how this counts or doesn't count, but she does an amazing job on this issue, relating to tons of people and making lots of things happen, and it's been a pleasure for me to have an opportunity to observe that without saying hardly anything, but just seeing what she does. I think it's something that I'm not sure she's gotten sufficient credit for. So I just want to notice that.
Hear, hear. Oh,
thanks.
Is there anything you want to say about the Disability Resource Expo?
Since this, you have a written report, and the big news since then is that we did finalize a contract with Fluid Events Center at the terms that we wanted. So, and I think Pete signed it today.
Good. That worked out really well last time. Are there any board announcements? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
No.
Remember, you're all welcome to stay for the Developmental Disability Board meeting and the study session.
Are you going to stay?
I'm going to stay because I'm interested.
Good night.